Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity that you've afforded us to come together and to fellowship and to learn more about you, Lord, and what you got planned for us, Lord. We thank you for your dreams and your visions and your words of knowledge that you've given us and your prophecies over the years to find out what's going on and what you want us to know, Lord. Father, I just ask that you reveal yourself to all of us now so that we won't ever lose sight of you again. Lord, that you'd never part from us again, that you'd always be right there. And Father, we praise you for that. Lord, we ask that when we do hiccup here and there and get off the road and come back on it, that you're going to be right there with your loving grace and your mercy and bring us back in. Father, we're coming into a pretty unsettling times as far as the world goes. But you know, when we're with you and we've got you in focus and we're talking to you every day, and we don't have anything to worry about because we're in your rest. You have us right there, Lord. That Psalms 91 protection is all over us. And Father, we praise you for that. Lord, give us the grace tonight to speak the things that you want us to speak. And that includes everybody. And Father, we thank you for all you're going to accomplish tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, all right. Anybody got a prayer request? I'll ask it again. Yeah, Joe, go ahead. Can't hear you.
There we go. I want to pray for, the folks out in California, I guess you could say, the elect. I was watching a couple of videos on YouTube earlier as I stumbled around as we know, basically out in L.A. and other areas. I had a question. Marilyn, I know you talk to Julie a lot. She lives in San Diego, is it? I was wondering, do they have issues out there with the homeless? And I guess they're saying, I mean, currently in LA, they're saying it's like, you know, they found cases of typhus and even leprosy because it's gotten the rats that carry fleas. How is San Diego? Has she ever said anything like about the conditions like that there?
You know, I think she travels on public transportation quite a bit. Okay. So she's exposed to it there quite a bit.
Okay.
But, you know, she'll be on Saturday night. I think it'd be best to
check in.
Yeah, to ask her. I know she sees a lot when she rides the trolley. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A lot of stuff that's just really hard.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I want to pray about that just to, you know, everyone agree with me, just for their protection, because they're saying they're finding cases of within that homeless population there, and it's probably elsewhere, of leprosy. And I thought, wow, they haven't seen that stuff. Well, I mean, in like developed countries, as they say, you know, America, I mean, they've never even seen that before. So you would assume that'd be in like a third world country or somewhere, but it's popping up out there in LA. So I want to pray for those people, you know, the elect's protection, most of all, for that stuff. So yeah, just go and agree with me. Father God, we just lift up all your elect out there, not yet in the kingdom and in the kingdom, that are exposed out there in the city of Los Angeles. And I guess they say it's in Los Angeles County. They're finding it in the homeless populations out there, typhus, leprosy, you know, what other illnesses? I mean, these things have not been around, Father, in years. I mean, well, many years, I guess they say these are medieval sicknesses and, you know, illnesses. And well, we understand this as yours. This is another sign of your judgment on this nation, you know, and in these cities especially. So we ask for protection, supernatural protection for your elect, you know, your bride, your man-child, whoever's out there, that these things would not even begin to touch them. You know, that the rats would, and the fleas that come from these rats wouldn't even begin to touch them at all, and they would be totally, I mean, totally protected from these diseases and these illnesses, Lord. We thank you for that, and we just, you know, those who are not yours and who are never going to come into your kingdom, you know, Lord, we, you know, you do with it as you will. You know, you do with these people as you want. That's your, you know, that's your decision. We pray for the elect out there that you would supernaturally protect them, Lord, from all these diseases that are popping up out there and that are just getting worse, you know, for these, knowing the conditions out there in some of those areas. So we thank you for that, Lord, and we thank you for protecting them, and that no curse and no disease will be upon them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. Yeah, Marilyn, go ahead.
Something just came to me. I wanted to pray in conjunction with piggyback on Joe's prayer. Father, I thank you and praise you that you've told us, behold, I come quickly, and look up and be watchful, for thy redemption draweth nigh. And Lord, as we pour out our lives, lay down our lives on a daily basis, that more and more of Christ is in us, and more of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray for an anointing of the gifts that you have given the man-child, the bride, the elect, to minister to these people. Lord, I love the story in the Gospels where the leper comes to Jesus and says, Lord, if you are willing, you can heal me. And Jesus says, I'm willing, be thou clean. Lord, prepare these people's hearts. Lord, I've always believed that the ones that are going to be the easiest to reach are the publicans and the harlots. And Lord, these homeless people, these people on the streets, Lord, the ones that are in bondage to drugs and alcohol and so much other things, Lord, that they are the ones that when you pour out that spirit of repentance and revival, they're going to turn and they're going to come quickly and they're going to recognize Jesus in your people. And Lord, that you give them faith, that even today you're preparing them to have faith, that you're drawing them to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, you're merciful, Father. You're merciful. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And these are the ones that he never turned away when they came to him. So Lord, I thank you and praise you for what you're doing. And Father, we pray that that you will preserve the elect unto the day of salvation. Even today, some of these people that may be sick and just at their wits' end and at rock bottom, Lord, that you supernaturally send your angels around them to preserve them and protect them. And Lord, to even draw them into the presence of your anointed ones, even like Julie. Lord, I know that she has prayed so many times on the trolley for people. And she has seen them healed, and she's seen them delivered, and she's seen them be exhorted with the gospel. So, Lord, I thank you and praise you for what you're doing. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for Julie. All right, Pat, go ahead, brother.
I just wanted to tack on to that prayer as well. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your grace, your goodness, your life in Christ that you've given us, Lord. And I just recognize, Lord, that condition in these states and these cities, especially there in California, is not so much a problem of homelessness as it is a problem of hopelessness. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would raise up people in those local areas like Julie, to go out to start to minister some of the churches around that area to minister to the needs of those people as far as touching where they need, Lord, that we all know that what they really need is more of hope, more of a life in you and an awareness in you. We thank you for the gifts of healing and the gifts of tongues, the various gifts that you've given us to minister to these, Lord. But we just ask you to raise up people in that particular area there that can touch those people's hearts for the gospel and with the gospel. And we thank you for that, Lord. Just ask you to pour out your spirit, pour out your repentance, the repentance that is required to see you, Lord. We just ask that you would pour out the gifts in that area to minister to those deep needs of those people, not only physically, but spiritually. And we just thank you for it. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Not only out there, but all over. In Jesus' name. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Judy.
I'd like to bring up a friend of mine. Her name is Julie. Her husband passed away this morning of cancer. And we've been friends for like 55 years. So and they've been together for 65 years. So, Lord, I thank you so much for being with Julie. Comfort her. Give her understanding. Give her peace. Oh, show her lots of love, Lord. Put your arms around her. And keep doing this because it's going to get harder for her when everything's over with. That's when it's going to hit her, mm-hmm. I believe. So, Lord, just keep being with her. Mm-hmm. And thank you for taking John, that now he doesn't have to suffer anymore. And I believe that he was ready for you. So thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. And that whole family, guide and protect and be with the boys. They have two boys, Scott and Brad. So Lord, be with them, the whole family, in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you that when John's put in the ground, the grief goes with it in Jesus' name, Lord.
Amen.
From that point on, she'll have happiness that he's with the Lord.
Yes,
and Lord. We thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
And may his death bring forth life to the family.
Amen.
They would see their need for you, and they would want to follow after you, that they would recognize that life is short, and they would wonder where are they going to be when their time comes. So Lord, just bring it to the family, to their needs, to see their need for you, Lord.
Yes.
And they would follow after you in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Sue.
All right. Anyone else? Scottish guy died, left a big family. And he was kind of a prankster. And when he died, he had him put a recorder in his coffin. And as they lowered him down, they had a time just perfect. As they were lowering him down to the bottom of the grave, he started screaming, "Hello! Hello! Somebody open this door and let me out of here." Somebody. And they started laughing because they knew what a prankster he was. I thought it was kind of cute. I might do something like that if I get to go. All right. Who's next? It was a lot more to it than that. You don't want to know the rest of it, but it was cool. All right. Who's next? Anybody else got a testimony or a praise report? There's too many somber faces in here. Y'all make me feel uncomfortable. Go, Angelica.
I just want to praise the Lord. After you prayed for me yesterday, my arms are healed. I was able to, for those of you that don't know, I was asking for prayer at the Monday meeting for my arms because I was never able to hold them up for more than a minute without feeling like I was holding a ton of bricks, you know, and just want to drop them, you know. And so anyway, Michael laid hands on me, and we all prayed, and I was able to hold my hands up today for about 3 minutes solid. And I'm just praising the Lord, so I just want to praise the Lord. That's it.
Okay. Well, I was talking. I was saying some very profound things, but nobody could hear me. Anyways, anybody else got a testimony or a praise report? Hey, Tasha. Hey, girl. All right. Well, I didn't prepare, so I think we'll just listen to some Bugs Bunny cartoons. How's that? Okay, well, I was really interested in talking a little bit, and maybe y'all can help me out here to what's going on in the world. There's quite a bit going on in the United States, as you well know, if you've been keeping up with it. And we need to be praying. We need to be praying a lot against the enemy, against the spiritual enemies that we have, and the national enemies that Trump has, because they're getting desperate. They're getting very desperate. We learned that there are unknown amounts of Marines on the ground, activated. I've heard different various amounts, but it's up in the tens of thousands. They're getting very serious because the deep state has indicated that there's going to be some stuff happening. That apparently Trump has gotten wind of some stuff. And if you know anything about recent history, Trump nullified a contract that Obama set up in 2012 with Long Beach Port and took that away from the Chinese. They've been using that port for many, many years. It's just way before 2012, but they gave him complete control. He gave him complete control of it in 2012 for 40 years. And Trump said, no, that's a national security. Well, from the sources that we've heard from, it looks like that they have been bringing in sleeper cells of Chinese soldiers and put them in various places with the equipment that they need to cause an insurrection. And not only that, also ISIS and MS-13 and Sonolas, and all of these are paramilitary forces that will join in with the Chinese force at the right time. And then you've got Russia right now with 3 days of nuclear tests that they're doing right now. And from what we understand, there's as many as 5 million Chinese in this country that have been brought in here illegally. So we don't know that, but that's what we hear. Then you've got California governor out there going against everything that Trump is doing and trying to buck him in every way that he can. And so we need to be praying against all of these things. There's some other things that are going on also. this when they're trying to look, this thing that they're doing with Trump is not about Trump. It's about overthrowing the government. That's what it's about. It's about overthrowing the government. Trump just happens to be in there at the right time. And this is a coup against him and the Constitution. How many of you have heard two or three of them say that the Constitution needs to be shredded? You know, yeah. I'm talking about top level Democrats are saying that if the Constitution gets in our way of doing what we want to do, it needs to be shredded. And stuff like that's going on. And another thing that I wanted to mention is, how many of you read Demetri Dudeman prophecies? Okay. How many of you know that the Democrat Party now is more leaning toward the communist end rather than the Constitution? All of you know that, don't you? Okay. Well, Dudeman said back in, I believe it was 91, somewhere along in there. And hang on here. What he said, when I try to remember it, I'm having trouble finding it. What he said was, in essence, was that the communist would try to take over the government and would cause civil war in this country, would try to cause civil war and an insurrection. And that's what we're seeing right now. That's exactly what we're seeing. So what he said some almost 30 years ago is we're starting to see it. Does anybody else, while I'm looking this up, has anybody else got something they want to share about what's going on in the world today that I hadn't talked about? Yeah, go ahead, Malcolm. Is that you? Okay.
Yeah, that was me. Yeah, and you're probably also well aware that the Turkish forces invading have already released a whole bunch of the ISIS prisoners that were being held, and they're also killing a lot of Kurds. So they're going after the Kurds and they're trying to release ISIS. The thing is, the forces that are invading are very supportive of ISIS anyway, so there's concern that some of those ISIS folks will end up in the United States and Europe, of course. Of course, a lot of other stuff going on too. The whole exposure of CNN and that. But that's what we've been praying for, that this foolishness be exposed and the public get to see, at least to some extent, the depths of the depravity, and because there's so much lying going on by the media. So
a lot of lying going on, huh, Malcolm?
In my extremely humble opinion.
Hey, all right, let's hear your humble opinion.
Well, that was it.
Oh, okay. All right, I thought I was fixing to hear some revelation here.
Oh.
Okay, let me read this right quick. I don't know what it was. This is Demetri. He says, I don't know what it was, brothers. I got beside the angel. This was Gabriel. He said, I got beside the angel. He showed me all of California. He showed me all the cities of California. Then he showed me Las Vegas. He said, you see what I have shown you? This is Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day, it will burn. Its sin has reached the Holy One. He showed me another great city. He said, do you know what city this is? I said, no. He said, this is New York City. This is Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day, it will burn. That goes right in line with Sandy's dream about New York City and a volcano erupting right in the middle of it. He showed me Florida. He said, this is Florida. This is Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day, it will burn. Now, he didn't let me say a word until he brought me back to the place we had left. He said, now, Demetri, you can ask me a question. He said, I brought you to this country, Demetri. I want to wake up a lot of people. I love this country. I love the people. I want to save them. America will burn. And I said, how can I save them? I can't even speak their language. Who knows me here? How will they call me? He said, don't worry. I will be ahead of you. I will make great healings among the American people. You will go to the television stations, the radio stations, and churches. Tell them everything I tell you. Don't hide nothing. If you try to hide anything, I will punish you. America will burn. How will America burn? It's so powerful. He said, the Russian spies have discovered where the most powerful nuclear missiles are in America. It will start with the world calling for peace and peace. Then, get this, there will be an internal revolution in America started by the communists. The government will be busy with internal problems. And then from the oceans, Russia, Cuba, Nicaragua, Central America, Mexico, and two other countries, which I can't remember, will attack. The Russians will bombard the nuclear missile silos in America. America will burn. He said, what will you do with the church? He said, now, all of you know that America's not going to burn until the end, right? Y'all know that. It's not going to happen until the end. If you've ridden Hidden Manor, David's proved that out to you and showed you what the Lord has shown him and other people. So this is just kind of an overview of what the Lord is showing Demetri. The church has left me, he said. How? Don't you have people here? He said, people in America honor people. The honor that should be given to God, they give to other people. Americans think highly of themselves. They say, I serve God, but they don't. In the church, there is divorce, adultery, fornication, sodomy, abortion, and all kinds of sin. Jesus Christ doesn't live in sin. He lives in holiness. I brought you here so you could cry out loud. And don't be afraid. I'm with you. Tell him to stop sinning. God never stops forgiving. Tell him to repent. Listen to that. God never stops forgiving. Tell him to repent. He will forgive them. Tell them to start preparing themselves so I can save them in the day of trouble. And if you call me to speak, God loves you. And that's what the angel of God told me. Whoever I love, I want to wake. I will put on their hearts to call you. Don't hide anything or I'll punish you. Anyway, he went on about the rest of the deal. And he called America Mystery Babylon. And you can read about that in Jeremiah 51. But anyway, I just wanted to let everybody be aware. Is there anybody in here that doesn't keep up with not the television news, but the internet news? And what's going on? Do you understand what's going on? We're fixing to get into a reset on the financial in this country. We're going back to the gold-backed dollar. We've talked about it before. I got the text this morning. Well, anyway, I got one in the Old Testament. that text was Jehoshaphat.
Mike?
Yeah.
It was 2 Corinthians 20:14.
No, it wasn't 2 Corinthians. It might have been 2
Chronicles.
Okay. Yeah. 2 Chronicles. What is it now? Say it again.
2 Chronicles 20:14.
Yeah, 14 through 22, maybe.
Scott.
24. Or 14 through 18.
No, 1 to 4. 1 to 4, I'm sorry. And your finger was on.
1 to 4?
1 to 4.
But then you read on. You read on.
Yeah, you might have read on.
I think it was.
Just hang on, I get it. First Chronicles 1 to 4. I don't think that's right. No. Wait a minute. No, that's not it either, Judy. You wrote it down wrong. It's the one where Jehoshaphat.
It's after that.
After that.
Because you were reading, I think since then, you were reading 12 to 25 or something towards the end. Because I remember writing down that whole chapter because I thought that all applied.
Well, anyway, it's where Jehoshaphat calls, where Jehoshaphat calls out to the Lord. And the Lord told him to do a fast. And then he would fight the battle himself. And so that's what they did. They went on a fast and they believed the Lord. And then they went out the next day and went over to where the battle was to be fought. And they started singing and praising the Lord. And when they did, they looked out there. All of them were dead. All the enemy was dead. He had sent liars in wait out there and killed them. All of them had killed each other. The Moabs and all their buddies, and laid them out. And here's the kicker. God took care of their enemies himself. But you know what happened afterwards? It took them 3 days to get the spoils out of there. It was gold and all kinds of goodies out there for the people. In other words, he rewarded them for the battle that God fought for them. He rewarded them for their faith.
Michael, and that was 2 Chronicles 20:1-4.
Okay, I knew it. I knew it was somewhere else. I just don't have my other computer. But okay, 2 Chronicles 20:1-4. Yeah, and you can read the whole story. It goes all the way up to 25, I think. It's an awesome story of God's mercy and grace upon his people when they seek him. And that's what what we're doing now is doing the same thing. We're seeking God for these. We've seen God do so many things with the enemy, scattering. We'll get a word of knowledge about the enemy is going to attack this or they're going to attack that. When I say the enemy, I'm talking about the factious people that have come against this ministry. And God has thwarted, had stopped all of their attacks against this thing, against this fellowship because of our prayers. And we get, just like the other day, we had a bunch, almost all of our dreamers were having trouble having dreams. And then we prayed against that with each one of them. And then they started flooding David with dreams again. So it's not, God's just, we've got an open heaven. Y'all do too. We all have an open heaven. And all we have to do is believe. Yeah. Go ahead, Marilyn. I'll get back with you soon. Hang on.
I was just going to share the verse that, or two verses that I got this morning.
Okay.
And I was thinking about when you were reading Dimitru's prophecy there, how he was saying all the cities of California and Las Vegas and New York were as Sodom and Gomorrah. And the verse I got this morning was in Zephaniah 2:9. And it says, "Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, surely Moab shall be as Sodom, and the children of Ammon as Gomorrah, even the breeding of nettles and salt pits in a perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall spoil them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them."
Amen. Yep. Okay, that's right on target, ain't it? Amen. Go ahead, Sue.
Okay, 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20 is where it starts. "They rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Listen to me, to Judah, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed.' And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in the holy attire as they went out before the army and said, 'Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting.' When they began singing and praising the Lord, set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so they were routed. For the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When Judah came to, verse 24, when Judah came to the lookout of the wilderness, they looked toward the multitudes, and behold, there were corpses lying on the ground, and no one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found much among them, including goods, garments, and valuable things, which they took for themselves, more than they could carry. And they were 3 days taking the spoil because there was so much." That's where you were talking about.
Yep, amen. Oh, my.
I just want to pray real quick, kind of.
Go ahead, Angelica.
Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we know that you're sovereign, Lord God, over the armies of Babylon, Father God, and Lord, we just ask, Father God, that these people, Father God, would be so confused, Father God. They would attack each other, Father God, the violent, Father God. You said if you live by the sword, you die by the sword, Lord. If those that choose to continue in violence and anarchy and civil war, Lord, choose that way, Father, that they would fight each other, Father, and that your people would escape, those that are going to be yours, Lord, and those that are yours would escape, Father. We ask that you have mercy on the children, on the elderly, on the handicapped, Father, and disabled, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we ask that you do that amongst all of the armies, Father God. We know that you'll use them for your purposes, Father, but we ask, Father God, just as your word always declares, that they will turn on each other, Father God, and we lose confusion upon those camps, Lord God, and we lose, Father God, just division, Father God, that they cannot perform the enterprises of their hands, Father God, that is not according to your will, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for that. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I was looking through some of Dimitri Dubin's stuff before I came on here. It's basically one of the things that he's saying also that the Lord is telling him, to the message to America, particularly his people here in the United States. If you're going to make it through everything that's going to happen here, it's going to be because you're in repentance. You're walking wholly in front of the Lord. You're not involved in any kind of sin that's going to drag you down. You're walking away from sin, and you're walking with the Lord as much as you possibly can every day. Pretty much you're just staying glued in with the Lord. So holiness, so the holiness life, walking in the Lord, that's what's going to save you. That's what's going to get you through this. There's going to be a burning. There's going to be fire. I mean, America's not going to be spared, but his people will be. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire and furnace. That's going to happen here. But the only way we're going to survive through these things day by day is through holiness and staying close to the Lord, being in his word, and listening for what the Lord has to say to us. Because when the times come, if he says to move, we have to move.
Amen. One other thing, what else, just something else to throw in the mix here. Benjamin Fulford and retired United States Air Force Lieutenant Colonel Phil McConnell reported that former U.S. President Barack Obama was executed on September the 29th, 2019 by a Marine firing squad at Gitmo. Evidently, Obama's death occurred on the same day that General Dunsford arrived at Gitmo to oversee the military tribunal. Does anybody know about a military tribunal? A military tribunal is where a judge has supreme power. They have supreme power. When you are a government official, you can be tried by a military tribunal if it's treason or sedition or divisiveness or anything of that nature that comes against the Constitution of the United States. Trump has put out, by an executive order, changed the sentencing for treason and child trafficking, and also knowing about 911 before after it happened and not saying anything about it. Here's the thing that I know there's going to be some skeptics out there. That's okay. It's okay. I don't care. You can just put it on the shelf until you figure out something else. But those three things, he's changed from sentencing in long jail term to one thing, death by death. That's it. Child sex trafficking is you're caught, and if it's unrefutable evidence, you're taken to a military tribunal. They show them the evidence, and if the evidence is clear cut, out to the yard you go, and it's done quickly. Now, I don't know how many people are down at Gitmo now, but I understand that there's quite a few military personnel down there. They just spent $200 million, I believe, down there upgrading that thing when Trump came into office to accommodate this batch of prisoners, because they already had all this stuff planned out before Trump came in. And they knew who was doing it. They already knew who was dirty, so to speak. And that's what Dunsford, no, is his name Dunsford? No. Durham. Durham is doing. Barr is doing. Attorney General Barr. And also Giuliani. They're hunting these people down. They're getting all the evidence gathered together. I just watched a small video earlier before I came on that said that, you know, they were supposed to put it out the 19th, but they're not ready yet. They got to have all their ducks in a row before they put all this stuff out. Now, when they's talking about this revolution, think about this for a moment. When they find out about all of their, I'm talking about movie stars, talking about journalists, we're talking about all these people that have tried to create a coup in this country to overthrow the legal electing of a president without any cause. They just don't like it. He interrupted their apple cart. All of these people are dirty that you're hearing screaming the most. Schumer, Pelosi, Pencilneck, all those people. The ones that are screaming the most are the dirtiest. Peach, Maxine Waters goes in there, a pauper almost, as a representative, and comes out, got a $4 million house now. On a, I don't know how much they make, what, $175,000, something like that, a year. Then you got Joe Biden. Look at Joe Biden. Y'all are hearing that on the news now. If you listen to Fox, if you listen to MSNBC or CNN, you won't hear it. But if you listen to Fox or some of these internet outlets, you understand what's going on. He went up there, made millions because of his dad's name. And his dad bragged about having the attorney general fired because he could. And because he was investigating his son and irregularities that he had over in Ukraine. And so, you know, I could go on and on and on, but there's no need in it. Y'all know the corruption that's in that something else I'm going to throw out there. Some of you might not know. The Federal Reserve System is a corrupt system, very corrupt. The money that the United States Americans pay in taxes doesn't go to the people. It goes to the Federal Reserve. It goes over to the UK, to the Queen, and from the Queen over to the Vatican. And then it's distributed back as they see fit after they get their money. That's the way it's been for years and years. And then when they come to find out that they're running out of money here, they have a war about every 20 years. They'll have a war. They'll have a big war. Well, we've been having a war for about 20 years now, 18 years. I think is what someone said. And that's how they make the money. That's how the deep state makes their money. A lot of their money is through wars. And the military-industrial complex makes money on wars. And that's why you hear these hawks out there screaming, let's go over there and bomb Syria. Let's go over there and bomb Turkey. Because they're in the pockets of these people. And they're making money off of them. And Trump has seen it. He's been watching it for years. Him and some other people. Oh, by the way, just to pique your interest a little bit, David showed me a picture of guess who? Of yesterday, from yesterday. Guess whose picture it was? I don't believe anybody in here could guess. Except Tim. JFK Jr. Boy, that'd be a wild one, wouldn't it? That would be a wild one. You know who JFK Jr. is, don't you?
What picture in what way?
A photo.
I mean, didn't he die over the ocean?
Go down. Well, that's what CNN said.
Joseph, they had a funeral for him and everything, I thought.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know they wanted to get rid of him because they were afraid of him. Hillary.
No.
Particularly, no. I think.
Well, here's what they're saying. They're saying that he went undercover. He went underground, so to speak, because he knew his life was short. They were going to kill him too because he was getting to be well known. You know, he had that magazine George. And what's interesting is some of the anomalies that are in that last magazine kind of indicates that in 2020 he'd show up. So I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out there. I don't know if, but David showed me a picture, and it could have been photoshopped. I don't know. Of JFK Jr. of a picture taken real recent. Now it sounds pretty out there, but from what I understand from listening to other sources. You know, my dad said one time, lots of times, he'd say, you can hear anything but money rattling and meat frying. You know, when you hear money rattling in your pockets, you got money in your pocket. If you hear meat frying, you know you're fixing to eat some meat. But other than that, don't believe nothing else. That's why his philosophy was, and I believe it, you know. But we'll just have to sit back and see. Wouldn't that be awesome to have Trump and JFK Jr. on the ticket? Oh, glory to God. My goodness. First, something else I'm going to tell you, you probably already know. I know I've mentioned it a couple of times. Is that some of the prophecies we've gotten, some of the dreams and visions and prophecies and things that we've seen, is that Trump is going to rule for 3.5 years. That he's going to rule. He's going to win the presidency. Believe it or not, he's going to win it. I mean, all this stuff here. As long as we keep on praying for him, he's going to win it. It's when God's people quit praying that bad things happen. So we have to keep on praying for him. But he's going to be the ruler of America for the next 4 years. And after that, we'll see, you know. At the middle of the tribulation is when the Antichrist beast comes, and or it's already here, but I mean, they gain great control. But think of this also. Out there in California, they're seeing magna. You know what magna is? It's that molten rock stuff underneath the surface is going stupid out there. They're being able to watch it from these real machines that they have now to watch it. And they're afraid, or they know it's going to happen. They just don't know when, but it's going to happen, is that volcanoes are going to erupt because of the water flowing into the crater. Y'all know what happens when you put water on a hot metal fire? It explodes. I saw it happen I saw the after effects of it. It happened in a plant that I was working in. They melted aluminum, and they take the raw stuff of it, and then they keep it hot all the time, and they throw old pans in there that were messed up to remelt them. Well, this lady poured a whole Dipsy dumpster full, but one or two of them had water in it. Blew the top off the big old furnace, great big old furnace. Blew the top off of it, blew aluminum all over that world, and threw all over that building. Through the grace of God, nobody was badly hurt. The only thing that saved her was that Dipsy dumpster that was in front that shielded that aluminum from getting on her. And she had a top on that forklift. And guys that were sitting over, the only thing it hurt was one of the operators was standing far off from her. And it deafened him for a couple of days, but he finally got over that. And that's what happens. If water hits molten rock or anything like that, it's going to explode and create another volcano or explosion, big explosion. But anyway, that's and they're saying that if that happened, it'll flood all of California, like we've seen in prophecies before. Okay. Now, the thing about Barack Obama, I don't know if it's true or not, that from what I understand, they got him on child sacrifice and treason. And, of course, the proof is there. I mean, anybody with half a brain and one eye can tell what that man did to the Constitution. Okay. Anybody else want to?
Did you say what was going on in California with the power being off? Did you already talk about that?
With the what?
When they turned the power off, what that was about in California?
Yeah. I haven't yet, but I can. You can if you want to.
I don't know. You were going to talk about it.
Okay.
Sunday, but I couldn't get on Sunday.
Yeah.
I was busy.
Well, what happened out there, from what we understand now, is that the White Hats, the Patriots, had the electricity turned off so that they could map the underground city, the underground tunnels and cities of the deep state out there in California. And the next thing you know, we saw a map of a satellite map of those areas that they mapped out. And the next thing you know, there's five explosions that went underground. And one of them had a plume. It went way up in the sky. And what they assume is that they sent those J-bombs down there. That's a bomb that can go deep down in the ground, and then it explodes. And what's amazing about that is people in one of the cities, if they had videos on YouTube of people seeing fire coming out of sewers and water, you know, drains in the city streets. They had fire coming out of them, smoke coming out of them. It's just amazing. You remember back here a few months ago when the earthquake, they said was an earthquake that hit California, and they knocked out the deep state, big military base over there, something like 1 million square acres, might have been 5 million square acres, went all the way over to the border of the state. They knocked that out. From what we understand, they got the kids out of there first that they had in there, got all the kids out, and then they bombed it, that place, and sunk it and got it down. Well, that's the same thing they're doing now. They're taking care of the deep state, the nefarious and evil things that they've been doing in those underground bases. Trump is getting taken care of it. And so that's what we've heard. Don't know it. You know, we're out here at the mercy of whoever tells us those things. So that's what we've heard that was going on. I've heard it both ways, but that's what I've heard. That's the one I'm going with. From what I understand also with that, I think I'm saying that right. I could be mistaken. I think it's, they would call it a J-bomb. He knows about them. I heard him talking about it. And it's a bomb that can penetrate quite a ways in the earth before it blows up. And they can even use nuclear bombs with those things. And it could be that that's what they were using. They don't know, but that's what they're talking about. Some wild stuff, isn't it? We're in a civil war, folks. Whether we like to believe it or not, we're in a civil war. And we're on God's side, because whoever wins, we win, right? We always win. That's why we need to always keep our eyes on Jesus. When all of this stuff really, really, when wherever you are, it's not going to affect you like it does the outside world, and you'll be able to minister to the ones that are left. That's that rest that God wants us all in, and that's always keeping your eyes on the Lord. If you keep your eyes on the Lord, you won't fall. You'll never fail. Just like the angel was telling Dimitri, he told him, he said, God never quits forgiving. If you stumble, get back on the road. It's no big deal. Well, it's a big deal, but it's not a big deal. You understand what I'm saying? Just tell God you're sorry and get back on the road and forget about condemnation and go and do what God wants you to do. What'd you want, Dave? I saw you. I needed it.
I noticed that I seen an article that the Midwest had a real bad ice storm yesterday.
I don't know.
Snow and stuff, and it destroyed a lot of their crops.
Really?
I mean, all of them. They say it's their total.
Where was that at?
It was on Zero Hedge.
No, I mean, what states?
Oh, they just said Midwest. The ones that get hit with all the floods, now they get hit with some winter weather and some ice storms that took out the rest of their crops that they had grown.
Oh, my gracious. Are you talking about Missouri and Kansas?
They had such a late growing season because of all the problems with the flooding. Mm-hmm. They got started, mm-hmm. and they were hoping they'd be able to grow into this weather still, but now this came through and wiped out the rest of what they grew. No, I'd have to find the article. It just was posted today. but it just said the Midwest. There's total devastation.
Hmm. Yeah, I can see where what happens. I've seen it happen. What happens if you have a wet fall? The crops in the fields, even if it's just foggy and rainy all the time, just not a whole lot, but just foggy and rainy, what can happen is this: the soybeans will start sprouting in the, on the soybean stalk. Rice starts sprouting on the stalk. That's what happens when it rains a lot in the fall, and it doesn't make it. It takes the quality of the seed down, way down. And if you have a freeze, you're right, you can't get it because it knocks everything down. It's hard to dig it out of the mud. I'd be interested. That must be Kansas and Missouri and...
I'm going to try to find it.
Places. Yeah, Missy.
I'm looking at an article here. It says plunging temperatures and heavy snow forecast for upper U.S. plains from Friday to Sunday are likely to damage unharvested corn and soybean crops in parts of North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Nebraska, Iowa, and meteorologists said on Wednesday. Now, this was posted, I think, 6 days ago. It said the winter, like blast, could dump up to 3 feet of snow in central and eastern North Dakota, send temperatures plunging to the 20s. In Fahrenheit in Nebraska, Western Iowa, Southwest Minnesota, and the Dakotas. The forecast sent corn and soybean futures on the Chicago Board of Trade to multi-month highs this week on concerns that late planted crops that have not yet reached maturity could be destroyed or damaged by the hard freeze.
Oh my! Well, yeah. If it's not mature by now up there, it ain't going to. It's not going to. What did they say the prices were, soybean?
It didn't say what the prices were.
Okay.
But it says about 14% of the U.S. corn crop and 5% of the U.S. soybeans are at risk of some level of freeze damage.
Well, that's not them counting what they didn't get in back in the spring. Okay. Anybody else got anything on what's happening? What's happening? Yeah, Missy.
It says only 58% of U.S. corn was mature as of October 6th, and just 15% was harvested, according to latest data from U.S. Department of Agriculture. That's devastating.
Yeah, that's corn country up there.
North Dakota's crop was furthest behind with just 22% of corn mature and none harvested as of Sunday, while South Dakota's corn was 36% mature with 2% harvested. U.S. soybeans were 14% harvested as of Sunday, 20% point behind the average pace USDA data showed. North Dakota and Minnesota beans were just 8% gathered, while Iowa's and South Dakota's crop was only 5% harvested.
I don't know what if they're not matured by now. Down south, they started harvesting the crops back in the latter part of August. And they generally get through by Thanksgiving. I don't know how it is up north, because I know they probably get it. They've got a lot. Isn't that right, Tim? They got a lot shorter season up there than we do down here.
Yeah, you got to, most of your grains have got to be, built by September.
You're breaking up.
Okay, most of the grain's got to be out of the field by the end of September. When you get in the first of October, too wet, too cold. But one thing that most of that, or Nebraska, North Dakota, South Dakota, soybeans is exported. It's not hard to measure. Huge amount of that is exported to Orient, Japan and stuff, China. We handle a lot of it.
Yeah. Well, historically, down here, we try to get done by Thanksgiving. You know, get everything out by Thanksgiving. It's not a big deal if you don't. I mean, we can go through. I have seen us go through December before get that stuff out because it's already matured. It's just sitting there waiting on us. You know, but up there, I can imagine you got to get it out before it starts snowing, don't you? Yeah. Why anybody want to live up there? I don't know. Anyway. Go ahead, Malcolm.
I just wanted to say that I've got some friends down the border with Georgia. Tennessee is about an hour south of you. And they said the first freeze is in December normally. Is that right? In your area, you're probably about the same.
Well, I don't know what the average day this year. Probably latter part of November. I don't know. Let me look and see. But
well, the other thing I wanted to say, more terrible things happening in the world, and we could go on forever on that one, but over in Hong Kong, these guys that are people that dress in black, nobody seems to know who's funding them, where they're getting their orders from or whatever, but they're being extremely destructive in their protest. They're not protesting, they're just destroying stuff. And there's a lot of speculation as to who is actually funding them, but it's almost undoing what the regular protesters are trying to. It's just total anarchy what these guys are doing. So I've just been praying. I know Hong Kong is a very wicked city. Anybody who's been there a few times knows that there's some very serious problems there. So I know they're entitled to judgment, because everybody's entitled to judgment unless they repent. But I mean, that place is something else. And so anyway, I've just been praying that the elect be spared there. I don't. With all the, it's a very international type thing because it is greatly straining their relationship with China, with a lot of the Western world, not just the United States. Britain would sure love to, because it's a largely British island there, and a lot of British influence from before. So a lot of British would like to see it back in their own hands. But I don't know.
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Seeing how you know quite a bit about it, didn't the British lease that from China?
I think it was a 99-year lease or something like that.
Yeah.
And then the time came to give it up, and I guess there were a bunch of agreements in place. One was that they'd be, I don't know the names. I forget the name of it. It's one country, two societies or something like that. But I think there's some speculation that Taiwan might be funding these guys to see if Hong Kong actually falls to China in a way. China owns it, but if they get taken over to the point where they don't have, whatever China does, Taiwan is very interested because they've also been offered the same type of thing that China's made arrangements with Hong Kong regarding. So they may just use it as, let these other people suffer while we see how this goes. And maybe we'll consider it if it goes well. But anyway, there's so much speculation on that front.
Yeah, well, Prime Minister Chi made a statement the other day. He said, we're not going to put up with this. We'll grind their bones in the ground or something similar to that.
Yeah, it's pretty, yeah.
Well, he's not messing around. Those people have no conscience whatsoever. The Chinese don't. But when it comes to human life, they don't care, man. I mean, they killed 65 million people under Mao Zedong. And then since then, I don't know how many millions they've killed. They don't. It doesn't bother them to kill people. They don't have a. They don't have a conscience at all, as long as they get their agenda. And so, Hong Kong, you know, is just that's just a little ant to them. But it's a cash cow. That's what they're looking at, isn't it?
Well, that's one of the huge issues for China is if Hong Kong is kind of brought under China's control. I mean, more control. They could lose that cash cow there, you know. By the way, something else I've been thinking about was, as you know, China has had a tremendous insurgency of Christianity, real Christianity, since Mao Zedong took over. That was probably planting the seed during Mao Zedong's time to make, you know, to clean out. So you ended up with Christians that were more, well, you know, it cost something to follow the Lord there. Unless you were on the Three Cell Committee guys, you know, that's basically, you know, the government front. But anyway, I've just been, you know, praying for them, because if they get back to major, major dictatorship where everybody's under this whole personal credit score thing, cultural credit score, whatever Google has developed for them, and Facebook and all the other people. I just want to pray that the Lord's, all the work that's happened there and the tremendous insurgency of people truly following the Lord, that those people are protected and that they still will become a major force at the end, you know, in all this tribulation that's coming and this great revival. So anyway, we don't want to worry about things. It's just that, you know, really bad. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah. Well, that's generally what brings revival is the hardship to people, because they don't have anywhere else to go. They can't go to the government because the government's the ones that are putting the hardship on them. So they have to turn to the Lord. Just like you're talking about the church in China. And what I understand, that's the largest growing church in the world. Fastest growing. Because when you got somebody breathing down your back, you have to depend upon the Lord himself to see you through. And that's what we're seeing over there, it looks like. That's just like over in the Muslim countries. We're seeing a great revival over there. And the only reason we're doing it is because those people over there have known nothing but poor, being poor, and hate. That's all they know. Not having a thing in the world. Most of them don't even own a camel. You know what I'm talking about? All they've got is the clothes on their back, and they have to depend upon going out and scrounging. When I was in Morocco, well, this is truth. We used to go by the train tracks and watch. You could see when there was a train that went by that had grain on it, the women would rush out there with their baskets, picking up grains one by one, put them in there so they could eat. And them folks were poor. They're poor in church mouths, I'm telling you. And when you got that, it's ripe for revival. That's why God's bringing this stuff into America too. This hardship into America, so people run away from the apostate, easygoing, greasy grace that they've got, and run into the true God that will take care of them if they believe.
Something else I've been praying about is the Turkey. The advancement of Turkey down into Syria. I understand they're just slaughtering Christians. It's like they're taking advantage of the fact that they're in power. And of course, you know, UBM's website was actually blocked anybody browsing in Turkey, the government shut. You probably remember that, Michael.
Yeah.
Because David said something about the Armenian situation. Well, now they're just doing the same stuff. They're wiping out Christians as they move south. So just praying for all them and, you know, that God will have mercy and grace and they'll truly repent.
Let's pray this, Malcolm. Let's pray that God would send people over there that are full of the Holy Spirit, that knows the Word of God, that can teach them faith and can teach them how God takes care of them and God can do the things that He's allowed to do.
Amen. Yeah.
Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, we ask that you send missionaries over there. We're not talking about people that call themselves missionaries. We're talking about your missionary, ones filled with the Holy Spirit, being led by you, Lord, to go to the right people and to minister to them, Lord, in a way that would make another disciple. And then that disciple would go out and make another disciple, and then another disciple, and then another disciple. Just like we're seeing over there in some places. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for doing that, Lord, getting your missionaries lined up and ready to go to work. And Lord, teaching them how to believe what the Word says. Just like Demetri Dudeman, you know, he had to go through trials. He went through a lot of trials. They tortured him. And once he got out, he had faith. My gracious. He'd pull up to, and the angel told him, he said, when you get out, he said, you got to go through a little bit more. But after you get out, he said, God's going to protect you. You'll be able to bring Bibles in here for another, I believe it was 2 years. Might have been four. Two or four years, I forget which. And every time he'd pull up to a checkpoint, and they'd ask him, well, Demetri, do you have any Bibles? He said, what you got in there? He'd tell him, I got some Bibles in there. Oh, man, get out of here, you know, and that's send him on. And he did. He had a backseat plumb full of a trunk, be plumb full of Bibles. But they didn't believe him because he got turned loose from being tortured. Yeah, Missy.
They would even pick him up and look at him and wouldn't even recognize him. They couldn't even. I remember one time there is a bunch of Bibles, if I can remember correctly, a bunch of Bibles stacked on his table or something in his home, and they came in and I don't know, there was some kind of situation like that, but I think like in the back of his trunk in particular, if I remember correctly, there were Bibles there, and they picked them up and they were looking at them, and they were blinded to the fact that they were Bibles, but
you know, God can do that.
Yeah. But I wanted to make that comment about that. But, you know, all this talk here is bringing to mind something that I've been thinking about and kind of praying about. And I want you all to pray with me and agree with me on this. There's a guy at work that Merle works with, whose name is Mike. He's a cook. And then there's Crystal, his girlfriend, that works at the restaurant. And Merle had gone to church with Mike. And I think Crystal went too, but it was a Baptist. But it was speaking in tongues. It was a Black Baptist church. And, you know, they were, you know, holy rollers, as some people would say. Anyway. Anyway, he comes home and he tells me that he invited them to dinner, and he gave me Crystal's number to get in contact with her. And this, he never said anything to me about it until he comes home and tells me this. So I'm like, Lord, I don't know how this is gonna go. I don't know. Merle doesn't seem to know if they're either one of them are really saved or not. Although Merle made the comment that Mike told him that Crystal goes to church three times a day. I mean, not a day, three times a week. And that he thinks, when I was asking him, he thinks that it's like Pentecostal charismatic. In other words, you know, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, believe in that or whatever. So anyway, I'm like, okay, Lord, you got to orchestrate this. And I need to talk to Merle more about it and ask him what his objective is. What's his main point of this? But anyway, my heart and my prayer is that, Lord, that Merle and I not contradict each other in anything that we say concerning you, Lord. And that, Lord, I just ask that we have a good talk before they come. And Lord, I know I'm not to assert myself, that I'm supposed to submit to Merle. And Lord, I just ask you to give me the grace to do that, to keep my mouth shut when I need to keep my mouth shut. And I just ask, Lord, that this be profitable and fruitful in your eyes, Lord, according to your will. And if it's not what you want, then you just shut it down and they don't come to dinner, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, we just thank you. It's going to be an awesome time. All of them going to get together. It's going to be peace and in the household, and they're going to have a wonderful time together. And Lord, if Missy's worried about saying the wrong thing, Lord, just teach her about going to Walmart, getting some 3M duct tape. That stuff has got some wonderful gluing aspects to it. And Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Well, yeah, I wouldn't say anything. Just let Merle carry the conversation. Go ahead. Right.
Well, I mean, I know I gotta be wise and not say anything that I shouldn't say, you know, and just, Lord, give me the wisdom and the discernment to.
Amen.
Yeah, you know, when you're around other Christians of different denominations, you just kind of work with grace.
Right.
You don't, yeah. Can't go too far, you know, not that's going to cause any difficulties, so just find common ground.
Well, my biggest thing is Lord, help us to really know if they've ever repented and believed in you. That if they are, even if they're backslidden, Lord, but if they've ever repented and believed in you, and that, you know, if they consider themselves to be Christians. I mean, yeah, just because you go to church doesn't mean you're a Christian, Lord. Just because you drive through McDonald's drive-thru doesn't make you a hamburger either. But anyway.
Well, that's where God's grace comes in, Missy. You don't know right. Where they are, so just, I wouldn't need more about it. When they come in, you'll know. You know, and then you can pray for them.
Yeah.
Can I pray real quick for Missy?
Sure.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I just lift up to you this whole situation, Father God, and we know what your word says concerning fellowship, Father God, with those that just don't confess you have come in the flesh, Lord. And so we just ask, Father God, we know that you honor that Merle is in charge here, Father, and he's extended his hand, Father God. And so we just ask, Father God, that your holiness and presence would be in the room, Father, and that that Missy, if you would have her to speak anything of faith, Father God, let that faith be imparted to them, Father. And Lord, if they are not willing, Lord God, or they just, you know, don't really want to live for you, Lord, this would be the first and the last time, Father God, because you said in your word not to have fellowship with darkness and not to invite people in our homes, Father, that are not willing to receive you, Lord. So we just ask you, Father, we thank you that you're going to be with them the entire time. And beyond that, Lord, you'll shut it down if it's not your will. And we just bind any demonic spirits that would try to operate through these people and impart ungodliness or lasciviousness or whatever, Lord. And we just thank you for that, Father. It'll just be peace. And we just bind any anxiety or fear off of my sister, Father. And we just thank you, Father, that you can give me her peace, Father God, and letting you lead, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Angelica.
I'd like to pray too.
Okay.
Lord, I pray that if, Lord, I don't know if it's your will or not for them to be together, but if it is, Lord, let Missy and Merle get what you want them to get out of this meeting, and that would be helpful to them, and this couple also, that they would get out of what you want them to get out of it, that it would be all around blessing for everyone, because you would be the one orchestrating it and not man. We just thank you, Father, that you're going to do what you want to do if this is your will in this whole situation. And thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. And I bind up any evil spirits that would want to hinder what you want to do through this whole thing in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord. Thanks, everybody.
Well, I got her tickets punched.
And if she shook the, and if they shook the preacher's hand and stepped over the line, I know.
Well, just remember, if they go to church, they've got something there about God, you know. Just remember, right. First Corinthians 13, the love chapter.
Right.
Hallelujah! Now heard that. Okay, anyone else? Always liked it when somebody come over that was of a different faith than I was.
I wanted to pray about something too.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm not getting anyone else off, but I just wanted to pray because I hadn't really been looking at the news and don't really feel led to. I mean, I do listen to X-22 report and stuff like that, so I know what the deep state's doing, but I mean, as far as the rest of the country, you know, I'm not really in the know, but you know, part of me just wants to really pray that, you know, I think that
we lost you. We lost your audio, Angelica.
Divine revelation of the people that we, you know, we're praying for and believing for. That you know, he knows the end from the beginning, so we can, that the Lord would begin to reveal to all of us individually, you know, what's, you know warning dreams and things of that nature, so we can pray down anything that is not his will for them. Does that sound okay?
Oh yeah, that's fine. Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I just we just come before your throne, Father God, in humility, Lord. We know there's a lot of information out there, Father God, a lot of misinformation, a lot of lies, a lot of conspiracies and whatnot, Lord, but you know everything. You see everything, Lord, and we humbly come to you, Father God, and ask that you would be the one that gives us all the information that we need, Father, and that we wouldn't inundate ourselves with so much you know, doom and gloom, Father God, that we would lose faith, Father, but that you would give us divine revelation and dreams and visions, Father God, not only of the things that need prayer, Lord God, that are before you, Lord, but also for the loved ones that we know and we've not been able to see, and they live in different parts of the country, Father, and even those that we don't know that are brothers and sisters, Father, or that will come into your kingdom, Lord. We ask that you would give us divine revelation and warning so that we can intercede and pray for these people, Father. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We know that you love them far more than we ever could, Lord. And I myself, and I'm sure my other brothers and sisters as well, Father, are willing, Father God, to give you our time, Father God, so that we can pray earnestly for these people, Father. that they might have an opportunity to have the Passover as well, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I believe it. Go ahead, Malcolm.
I just wanted to pray. Is that okay, Michael?
Yes, sir. Go around.
Yeah, I'm just asking for a spirit of deep intercession on me and the rest of us here on the call. And I'm just praying that when we pray, it's a deep, earnest, it's just really, it's just not shallow praying or I just pray for that deep, deep spirit of intercession. And also we read in Joel and Isaiah and other places where I was just looking in Isaiah where, Lord, you said you were not pleased with your people because you called for mourning and fasting and afflicting our souls and whatnot. And lo and behold, the people were partying and killing animals and having big feasts and saying that for just party it up because tomorrow we're going to die. So, Lord, I just pray that we don't have anything close to that attitude, that we're really serious in our praying with you. And I'm just asking for, again, this deep spirit of intercession that will come upon us. And that we'll have tears and they'll, you know, and all these, you know, we'll have to really go out and get more toilet paper or Kleenex or however we keep clean and all that. And I thank you in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Yeah, me too. Yeah, we need to be concerned for everybody out there, the lost. All right, anybody else got anything they want to talk about? The main thing is just to be ready at all times. The Lord said, we don't want to be like those five virgins that wasn't ready. We want to be like the five that had the oil. We want to have the oil ready.
I'd like to pray about something.
Okay.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up to you the man-child and the bride, Father, and the fivefold ministers, Father God. You know all those that you're preparing, that you have been preparing in the wilderness, Father God, for such a time as this. And I just pray a special protection, a hedge protection wall of fire around these people, Father God, that you would keep them in the way, that you would guard them from their strong enemies, Father God, and that you would just show yourself mighty in their life, Lord. And those that are in despair and who believe that they've been forgotten, Father God, that you would activate them, Father God, and send them out, Father God, to preach your gospel, Father God, and do many mighty works in your name, Father God, that you would begin to give them dreams and visions and prepare them that for the time that it's quickly ahead, Father. We know that there's many people, many men in our ministry and the extended ministry, Father, who have this calling on their life, Lord. And we just pray that you give them everything that they need, the grace, the faith, the love, Father God, the willingness to be persecuted for your name's sake, Father, and just love above all things, Father God. And we pray that you just keep them on every side, that their feet not go to the right or to the left, Father God, that you give them great bold faith, Father God, to continue in the truth unto the end, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, I believe it. Go ahead, Malcolm.
This last week or so, I've been spending almost all my time in Isaiah, and it's just some amazing stuff in there. And it talks about the rejoicing on the other side, that some some folks have had dreams regarding that, how it's sour, you know, sour grapes before. And anyway, just Isaiah is really amazing. And, you know, I used to read it as a kid, as a teenager, and it was really exciting, and it really spoke to me back then. But it seems like now I'm starting to understand more and more, you know, with the man-child and the bride and the time that we're in, it seems to more and more directly apply to today. So I just wanted to say that. It's just what a book that, Isaiah wrote there, whatever that book is just pretty incredible and apropos for right now.
Amen. I believe, yes, it is. I get a lot of Isaiah scriptures myself.
You know what I got the last couple of days? It's really pretty cool. Last night before I went to bed and first thing I got in the morning, I got the first chapter one of Ruth before I went to bed. And then when I got up, I got chapter two from the Lord. And it's like, oh, okay. But it was like Ruth 1:13, and then the next day was Ruth 2:8. I thought, well, I guess he wants me to read both these chapters for sure. I read all through Ruth today.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's talking about the unfruitful mother, you know, with her husband dying and her son dying. It's like the mother church being unfruitful. Her fruit dies. Her husband dies. Now she's a widow and has no fruit. She has her daughter-in-law who married one of her sons, and that's like the old man. And he dies too, so now she's divorced from the old man, and they both come into the promised land where they're land of flowing and milk and honey now. They left it with famine, and now they're being fruitful. God's blessed the land for the Jews. And so they go back to a place, you know, with nothing. And they're both divorced from the old man. Both their old men have died. And now we have Ruth going to be coming into meeting the kinsman redeemer, which is Jesus. And then he gives her fruit. He gave her 6 bushels of barley when she was gleaning, when she spent the night with him in the threshing floor when she left that day. So it's just like that he gave her more fruit, you know. And the 6 represents for the 6 years. I'm pretty sure he's going to carry her through 6 years. She's going to have fruit, you know, to get enough through for the 6 years that she'll have to go through, kind of representing with the 6, which goes back to the 6 water pots with Jesus when in the marriage feast, when then the first miracle he had where he created water out of wine with 6 water pots. So we've got this, and that 6 represents man filling up the man too, the water pots. I think we're going to have some good things to look forward to too, you know, and especially the bride, you know. We just got to keep our eye on a kinsman redeemer. You know, he's the one that's going to carry us through these times. We're going to see our death, the old man. We're going to be brought into new life with Christ. We're going to have all sorts of fruit, and we're going to be, the Lord's going to be watching over his bride, you know. He's definitely going to be watching over his bride. And the church, he's going to be bringing a church in and giving them some fruit too, because that's what Naomi represents somewhat, of the dead church that's going to have the fruit of the woman. That's, you know, Naomi's fruit when she has Boaz. I mean, not Boaz, but... I can't remember what the name of the boy was she had. Anyway, so it's just some interesting things, just some observations. There's probably even more in there. We talked about it once. Michael actually had a study on it once. We had Ruth.
Boaz.
It's been a while. But we had a few things that came out of that. So anyways, I just touched on that real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. That brings another prayer to mind. Can I pray?
Go ahead, Angelica.
Okay. I'm sorry. And Lord, forgive me, because I've thought about a lot of these things, and I'm kind of just held back from praying about some of these things. And But I just want to pray
now. That's a good opportunity.
Yeah. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, that's another thing that I was on my heart, Father God, just for your people, Father, because we've been through so much, Father, that you would encourage us in the way, Father, that you also would give us dreams and visions of the wonderful things to come, Father God, of revival, of healings, of your the outpouring of your spirit, Father God, of an understanding, Father God, of what's to come so that we can look forward to these things, Father God, and rather than focusing on all the horrible things, Father, because we know right after, Father God, comes the wonderful things, but we just, being humans, Father, we need something to look forward to and be encouraged by. And so we just ask you for this grace, Father, for each one of us, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah, we're looking forward to the good stuff. And there's a lot of good stuff coming. Even though there's going to be a lot of devastation, there's going to be a lot of good stuff for God's people. This is when God's going to populate heaven. All right. Anybody else got something they want to share, George? Yeah. What's your name, Debbie?
I just wanted to pray too. So, but I just pray, Lord, that you would lead us to people to talk to that we should talk to about things coming, Lord. Father, those that need to know the truth about the good that we have that is ahead of us, Lord. Lord, Christians, God, that don't understand and know these things, Lord, about the safety that we have in you, Lord, and abiding in you, Lord. I just pray that you lead us to the people to share, that those that we do talk to, God, and our family, Lord, that they'll be open to receive, Lord, and want to receive, Lord, and want to come to that place in you, Jesus. Lord, that they will know that there's nothing to fear with you, Father. They're walking with you and abiding in you, Jesus. I just pray that you will just give us the words to speak, Lord, that you anoint our words that we speak, Lord, that you would help lead us to talk to the people that you want us to talk to and our family members, Lord, that we would know that it is the time to speak these certain things, Lord God, and these truths, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you help us to minister your truth to them, Lord God. They would know what you really have for them, Lord God, and that they would not fear, Lord, and that even some that I have spoke to, God, they're just thinking that, oh, it's just the end times. I hear about it all the time, that it's coming, and but they would really know what to expect, what they can expect in you, Father, what to receive from you, Jesus. So I just pray that you will guide all of us and lead us in speaking to our family members, our loved ones, Lord, and people we just run into, Lord. These are important days, Father, that they would know, as just Angelica said, not the terrible things, but the good that you have, Lord, by abiding in you, Lord. I just pray, Lord, for your direction and speaking to other believers, Lord, that need to know these things. In Jesus' name, anointing be upon us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, God. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I just wanted to, or actually I wanted to raise a question. I was thinking, I was reading about Jesus in the scripture, in the Gospels, the account of when he was, just before he went up to the upper room and Judas betrayed him and whatnot. And it kind of got me thinking, in the context, and this is just a question to think about, maybe somebody can elaborate on it next week or next Thursday or whatever. And that is, in the context of the man-child and the bride, and that I'm assuming that man-child and bride training and scenario takes place in the first part of the tribulation. And I guess what I'm thinking is that if that happens according to pattern, that in like pattern, Jesus trained his disciples up to a certain point. And then at the end of that point, Jesus was crucified, raised again, and we transitioned into the new covenant through that process. And that was basically the crucifixion of the man-child, if the type is the same. So I guess the question would be maybe a little clarity as to, is there going to be a man-child crucifixion, or what is the picture of that? What's the type that is represented in our day in the man-child and the bride in the first half of the 7-year tribulation versus the second half? Do you understand what I'm question, what I'm thinking?
Yeah, maybe. as far as the man-child, we're talking about the first fruits man-child, right? The first fruits man-child. Everything you saw Jesus do was in the natural. Everything from that point on is spiritual. So the crucifixion of the man-child now, first fruits, is before the tribulation, and he's walked that walk of spiritual of crucifixion, putting his self-life on the cross already. That's why he's called the first fruits. He walks in that walk, and there's not going to be just one. There's going to be multiple thousands, you know, of man-child. And as they walk and lead the bride into tribulation, yes, he will teach and keep ministering to the bride, and out of the bride will come possibly a second fruits man-child army coming out of there, that during the tribulation they will be matured.
Okay, I'm gonna have to leave it right there. I bumped it here.
We can talk about it again come Thursday if you'd like.
Okay. Yeah, I gotta bug out here. Sorry.
Okay.
Dang, I'm still employed here at night.
Yeah.
I got a crew here. So
bless you, brother.
Thank you. See you later. Bye bye.
All right. Bye bye. Bye bye. Okay. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share? We've got a few minutes left. Hey, George, I'd like to hear from you tonight if you're around. Always like to hear from George. Everybody else, too. Uh-oh. He must be eating. What about you, Denny? Okay. Okay. Let's see. Well, we are. Looks like we're coming into this wonderful time here of trials.
Say something?
What's that?
Was Joe going to say something?
Oh, I don't know. You got something to say, Joe? Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry. I didn't. You're over in the northwest corner.
Where am I? I'm like, I'm here somewhere, am I?
Okay.
Oh, I see. No, I just wanted to pray real quick. I've been encouraged lately considerably. I see that ministry of an intercessor God is bringing me into, or he's bringing me back to. You know, I figured years ago, I had no idea about it, but I'm finally learning that's what God has for me, you know, and there's probably something more. But I want to pray for everybody here and those who are not and elsewhere, that God would begin to do that for us. Where do you have us specifically? You know, we've got specific roles and ministries and offices as, you know, the elders, you know. So I just want to pray for all of us that, you know, I mean, okay, we've got a – I mean, of course, we've got certain roles as believers, but – specifically, I want to pray for everybody. Where do you have us? You know, what is our role in the body? So, you know, I just want to lift up everybody. So, Father, I just thank you that you've encouraged me lately. I've seen myself, begin to understand as a intercessor. You know, you've shown me things, and I pray that you keep showing me things and help me to come into that role in its fullness. And I pray for everyone else here, everyone else down in Tennessee, and those listening in, you know, and elsewhere out there. You have a specific work, Lord, a specific ministry with an anointing, you know, whatever role that is. So I pray you'd begin to bring each and every one of us who was unclear, Lord, you know, who just kind of, they may feel like they're just floating around out there. They're just waiting on you, God, to show them, or they're just living each day as it goes, you know. But Lord, would you begin to show each and every one of us where you want us, what you want us to do, you know, using the gifts and the talents you gave us to minister to others. You know, I know specifically, I believe, who I will be ministering to and, you know, what I'll be doing. So I ask, Lord, that you'd show every single one of us and, you know, so we would be prepared and you would bring us into that, you know. I mean, you mature us in those areas and, you know, I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for what you're going to do. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing it. Okay. I want y'all to say this after I say it. Y'all repeat after me. Remember how the preachers used to do it? Y'all repeat after me. Okay? This is a good one. I'm telling you, this is going to be our prayer tonight to end tonight's sleep. All right. Here we go. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Okay. Blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm born again, kept by the power of God. I'm redeemed by the blood. I'm born again by the word of God. I'm complete in Jesus. My sins are nailed at the cross. And I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, seated in the heavenly places, right now at the right hand of the throne of God. Glory to God. I'm more than a conqueror. I take dominion. I rule and reign in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is my heavenly Father, and Jesus is my Lord. I'm a product of his love. I have love. I have joy. I have peace. I have long suffering. I have goodness. I have gentleness. I have meekness. I have temperance. I have faith. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right now, I'm strengthened in all the power and the might of the Lord. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm given authority over all the works of darkness with the word in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I now receive the word and the blood. And I remove in Jesus' name all the works of heaviness and oppression from me in this fellowship. And I remove every work of doubt and unbelief in Jesus' name. I remove all works of traditions, legalism, and every work of oppression against this body in Jesus' name. I rule and reign in the name of Jesus. And I remove all word curses, all works of darkness in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My weapons are mighty in God to the tearing down of stronghold, casting down all imagination and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I now bring every thought captive to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a new creation. As Jesus Christ is in the world, so am I. And now from the throne of grace, I receive grace, love, joy, blessings, healings, and deliverances. And now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I speak peace on this fellowship. in Jesus' name. And everybody here tonight will get an all night. You're going to sleep all night long. Wake up in the morning, you're going to have supernatural energy to get up and do what God's got you to do. Now, Lord, fill us up with your Holy Spirit, so much so that there ain't no room for anything but you, Lord. All the darkness is crowded out because of your filling us up with your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we praise you and we glorify you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory be to God. I believe that. Thank you, Jesus. Well, good night, folks.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.